Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Pew, 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 pew. Welcome to the Lummi Sports Show with Babyface pre-Super Bowl.
Big game. We got to call it the big game.
Oh, sorry. That's right. We're not allowed to use it.
No, we can call it the Super Bowl on the show. We just can't advertise it as such.
Oh, yes, the big game is coming up. Brian and I, let's go previously on the Lummi Sports Show. Hey, I'm Brian Petroni. I pick the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the, who'd you pick?
Kansas City Chiefs.
And I'm Lummi, and I picked the Buccaneers, and I thought they were going to play the Buffalo Bills.
Welcome to the Lummi Sports Show with the big game here. I am Lummi, your host, and we have Brian the Babyface. How's it going, Brian?
How's it going, man?
Was that a little more enthusiastic for you?
I mean, your enthusiasm's never off the mark. It's just your professionalism is lacking.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, what you lack for in professionalism, you also lack for in talent.
And intelligence.
Yeah, but that's okay. We love it. That's what makes you, buddy.
Thank you, Brian. I really do appreciate that. That makes me feel so much better.
It should. So we've got the Super Bowl coming up Sunday, right?
Yeah, Sunday. You know, Bubba brought up a good point, and I want to see your take. I think you're a very newsworthy type of guy. Does it seem like you don't even really know the Super Bowl is going on Sunday?
Well, I think there's less of a an importance about it because last year was just so big. When it's here, it's in your face everywhere you turn. You're in your car, you see it. You're out of your car, you see it. You're listening to non-sports talk radio, they're talking about it. You're watching local news, they're talking about it at all times, you know. So I think that's the impact we're seeing, is that it was just so much more substantially broadcast locally here last year, whereas now it's a little less. And the fact that it's on the West Coast, it couldn't really be any further from us.
Well, but I even feel like ESPN and those kind of different news sources, you're not really here. I mean, because is it maybe because there's not many sexy players?
That and the Olympics also going on at the same time, probably. Well, no, but that distracts from the coverage. In non-Olympic years, there's what are they competing with this time of year typically?
Hockey, that's basketball.
That's it. Yeah. True. I mean, but those are both there right now anyways. So you've got, you know, and not that it's but I think that's it too. It's Stafford and Burrow. It's not as sexy of a matchup. You know,
no, maybe in 5 years when Burrow's kind of, I mean, if he keeps going with the way he's playing, maybe Burrow will be that MVP kind of, up and coming guy. He seems like he has that swagger, the dressing up, getting in front of people, kind of getting that attention from people. Anna thinks he's hot. I'm sure other, ladies think he's hot too.
Do you think he's hot?
No, I think he just looks like a corn-fed Midwestern kind of guy.
Yeah,
because I believe he's from Ohio. He actually went to the same college, same high school as our old USF quarterback, who was the backup to Matt Grothy, and he beat all his records at their school.
Who was that?
Grant Gregory.
Oh yeah, I remember Grant Gregory.
He's my buddy, and Joe Burrow beat all his records in high school.
He could have been an NFL quarterback too if Josh Freeman hadn't blown his opportunity for him.
Oh, is that how it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, their fates were intertwined. There's no way that one was going to make it and not the other.
That is very true. Very true. Thank you. Yes, he transferred.
Did you ruin his life too, Lummi?
Whose?
Grant Gregory's?
No, Grant Gregory, he's a weird guy. He left Indiana.
Strong upper body. Had a good arm. Had a live arm. Just couldn't put it all together. And you're behind Matt Grothy. You're behind.
Well, he was in front of Matt Grothy, actually.
Yeah, I know.
And then he, but the problem was he got hurt for a preseason game or the first game of the year and got put behind him. He transferred to Indiana. I mean, he was a Indiana like All American or something. He threw touchdown passes to Ted Ginn in the All Star game. Blah blah blah. But who cares about that?
Yeah, who cares about that? We have bigger fish to fry.
So I kind of wanted to touch a little bit also on the prop bets for the Super Bowl, which I'm going to get into. We were talking, I just want to touch a little bit on the baseball situation. I'm very confused, and I'm not sure if anyone else is confused. What is going on with that, Brian?
So
the lockout.
So, yeah, so right now it's a lockout, and so no players are allowed to be at team facilities. The MLBPA is negotiating a new deal with Major League Baseball ownership. Part of that lockout is the steroid testing, the drug testing agreement has expired. So MLB is now prohibited from requiring any players to take any steroid tests at this moment. So that'll be renewed and part of the deal that they ultimately reach, which they will ultimately reach a deal. They're just playing hardball right now. And so they'll get it all figured out, and there will be an MLB season.
So you don't think they're going to miss any games?
They can't afford to either side because of, you know, the COVID situation over the last 2 years. So no, I think there will be acquiescence, and they will find common ground here shortly.
So if you're an MLB player right now, are you going to your local doctor and getting steroids as fast as possible if you're like maybe in the minors?
I would if I knew they could clear my system. But the problem is, what do you? Yeah, I mean, you could juice for power right now, but yeah, is that really going to help you come May, June, July? You know, taking some steroids now. I don't know that enough. I've never used them.
Brian, what are you talking about? Can we get a flex from you? Because I mean, it looks like you're. You know,
I'm okay. I'm not in flex mode today. I'll get swole and then come back in here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that one time you came in during COVID when you sat in the shower, you looked like you. We're in pretty good shape there.
I was in good shape. I was ready to play in Major League Baseball at that point, but then I let it go.
Did you get off the Dynaball?
Yeah, that was happened? A Dyna-In test. That's what I was on.
Here, let's take this phone call. 443?
Good afternoon, y'all. How are you?
How's it going?
Oh, it's our number one caller.
Yeah.
Damn right it is. So, Lummi, you texted me to pick some bets for you guys. I got 10 of my favorite Super Bowl bets that will make the entire Super Bowl fun, even if you don't care about it.
Brian, I was asking about the sack one, too, because I think with the sack prop bet that you can't find.
I found prop bets for individual players to get sacks. Like, Donald's almost minus 200 to get a sack. I think Von Miller's, like, yeah, minus 170. The guy from Cincinnati's minus 120. Saw a few on there.
Well, I'm just thinking because, obviously, Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals line – Joe Burrow takes a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
And
that's an understatement. I guess my prediction was the over-under on sacks for Burrow was going to be at 4.5 or 5.
Oh, I was going to go 8.
No.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I would. If you can pay the juice at 196 for Aaron Donald to get a sack, I think that's just easy money, but there's almost no value in it. But I guess if you would like me to, I can run through my list and you guys can tell me how stupid I am or how smart I am.
Brian,
well, trust me,
think,
my opinion of your intelligence won't change based upon this list. It can't.
Shoot for it. How about you make us all a bunch of money?
All right, here we go. So I got Rams minus 4.5, which is an alternate spread at plus 100. I think betting them minus 4 at minus 110 is there's no point in that because they have to win by 5 anyways. Tyler Higbee to score a touchdown is plus 260. Cooper Kupp, Tyler Boyd, and Sony Michel all to score a touchdown in a parlay is plus 1760. The first offensive play to be a pass is plus 104. First scoring play being a field goal is plus 128. Red, pink, Gatorade is plus 960. Yellow Gatorade plus 360. The coin toss will be heads. It's minus 104. National anthem over 95 seconds is minus 130. I'm very confident in that. And then Cooper Kupp over 105.5 yards, minus 110. I'm very confident in that as well.
So Higbee's terrible because he's got an MCL sprain and is looking at the moment like he may or may not play.
So why is he plus 260 then? I feel like they know something that – because, I mean, that's pretty low odds for a touchdown scorer.
Well, sometimes they leave those guys in there if they're questionable. They want to get that action on it.
Yeah,
they
want to
get the lazy guy that's not going to go back in and can't cash out his bet. They want a guy that just to come in and go, well, okay,
$20 down on these three guys to score a touchdown.
And then you're not sitting there thinking, you know, watching the injury report unless you're a hardcore gambler. So
or
you
hosting
about
a sports show, the number one sports show, a simulcast on Facebook and YouTube, middays on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Number one, say it,
Little Purple Jersey.
It's the number one sports show in the world that is dual platform on YouTube and Facebook.
Middays or evenings on Wednesdays.
And also throw it on bar, too. And maybe even it's on the Bubba Army podcast. I mean, jeez. We're number
one. I'm trying to find the Higbee injury report, but what do you guys think?
No, he was a non-participant all 3 days that the team was required to release it. As of yesterday, he was questionable to play, and actually Uzomah is more likely to play than Higbee at this point. I think Higbee will give it a go, but the Rams have Blanton as his backup, and will, you know, he's shown that he can catch the ball when it's thrown his way as well.
And actually a good one too that you might have missed out on, you might want to add, which Mike just brought up in chat, and McAfee talked about it yesterday, was the touchback.
Yeah, because they apparently kick with a brand new unmolested ball. Normally the ball is beat up for about an hour before the game by both coaching staffs. And McAfee mentioned in his show how the Super Bowl kickoff ball goes right to the Hall of Fame, and so they want it to look as pristine as possible. So it's really hard. He said they're almost like plastic when they come out of the wrapper and out of the box. So he says that's the reason why 18 of the last 20 kickoffs have not gone for touchbacks.
And a lot of the bulbs, too.
I didn't see that.
The odds, I think, are it's actually pretty good. It's like because both kickers have like a 60% touchback rate, but I think the odds were like plus 140 or something like that.
I'm trying to find it.
It's under special teams or kicker props, okay. I believe it is, so you might want to look at that.
Special team props, opening kick. Oh, that's okay. Yes is minus 108. No is minus 118.
Okay, the no is a solid play there.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
I'll probably add that. I'm actually going to be in LA during the Super Bowl. I'm flying out Sunday morning, so I have to get my bets in since sports betting's not legalized in California yet.
Why are you going out there?
I'm going to have to sign an NDA when I get out there. But I will just say that I will be at somebody's house that is playing in the Super Bowl.
Wow, thanks for the information.
Oh, what, did you win some sort of contest?
No, I did not. I'm going to be there working there. One of my friends got a contract with one of the players and is doing a pretty large project at his house. And I'm going to fly out there to hang out and help them for a few days.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for the prop bet action. Yeah. I would take Higbee off just to be safe.
I may just swap him out with Blanton.
The touchback. You should swap him out with the touchback.
Well, Blanton, you'll get much better odds on. I'm imagining Blanton's probably like plus 500. I don't know. I'm guessing. But I think that's definitely a better play if you want to just throw like $10 down on something like that.
For sure. Alrighty, guys. Well, have a good show. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You too. Have fun at your big time party. Brian and I are flying out to LA. Our sports show. We got a little bit of a budget now to get out.
Yeah,
there.
We're going
to
be from press row media row, whatever they call it.
Yeah, we're going to be out there. We're going to try to get on double platform. Maybe get a lot of interviews. We don't know yet. I think Brian's trying to get. Who are you trying to get, Brian, for our interviews?
The ball boy for the Rams.
Perfect.
I've got him lined up.
That's what I like. We want to see how Matt Gay is going to do with his total kicking points.
I thought we could kind of go through position by position breakdown, position group breakdown as to who do you think, which team has the edge, and then work our way through and then lead up to our picks. What do you think about that?
Sounds like a winner.
All right. Let's start with quarterback. Swagger and the it factor, I would give to Burrow, but Stafford's been really solid in the playoffs. He's cut down on the mistakes. He's, I think, learned to play well with Odell Beckham. He has not been helped by his running backs much, but he hasn't needed it. So I would give a slight edge based upon just experience, a slightest of edges to the Rams and Matt Stafford.
Yeah, but you don't think Stafford's almost due for that turnover game?
I don't know that you're ever due for one of those. You know, some quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers goes a long time and doesn't have them.
Yeah, no, but that pressure, he's never been in the Super Bowl. It's
neither
has
Burrow.
True, but it seems like Stafford's big thing with his ego is that he's never been able to play. That's what they're talking about. And they're saying with Burrow, is like, yeah, he doesn't really know the difference.
Stafford's never been on a team that's won, and he's never had an expectation of winning. I don't think either one of them knows the difference, quite honestly.
Well, but they're saying how, like, Stafford's all business now. He's coming in, all this other stuff, where Burrow, he just looks like he's that, you know, what they always say, what, the young gun coming in, and they don't know what's going on, and that's sometimes that guy that's going to surprise
Burrow's
you.
Played for championships. This isn't anything new to him. If anything, he has more championship experience than Matt Stafford.
Yes, I don't think Georgia was really.
I mean, they were okay when Stafford was there, but they weren't competing for national titles. So I think from a championship game perspective and the pressure and the lights of it, I actually think Burrow has more experience than Stafford. Stafford made me feel slightly more pressure because he's older and he has less time, and he was the big free agent, you know, not free agent, but big trade acquisition for the Rams this offseason. But I just looking at it from a skill position, not really going with the intangibles, looking at it from an experience position in the NFL, I'd give the slightest of edges to Matt Stafford. Not just that, but, and we'll get into it in a minute, but Matt Stafford should not be under the same level of duress that Joe Burrow faces in this game. So for that reason, I give the slight edge at QB to the Rams.
And see, I disagree with you. Now, I agree with you on the pressure with Burrow. I think that will, but I think he's so used to it all regular season that it doesn't even bother him anymore.
So you think the advantage goes to Cincy?
I think the advantage in this one goes to a slight advantage, but I do agree with you. I feel that's going to make a big thing. That's why I like that.
Well, you can't both agree and disagree.
No, but I'm saying I liked, but what puts me over is Burrow, I think, is not going to be bothered that he's in the big game.
And we'll see. I mean, you know, when those lights go on, we'll see what's up. Do we have callers?
We do have a caller. Sorry, Brian, I was 727.
What's up, guys? It's Fozzie. My thoughts are this. I think the Bengals are going to blow out the Rams. I think Joe Burrow is going to neutralize the potent L.A. defense with his speed read, the 3 to 5 step drops, maybe mixing runs. Stafford will be throwing the ball around the yard. I think he throws 2 picks, maybe 1 pick 6, with the 34-17 Bengals win, lock it in. And I just want to, if you can't say Gay anymore, how are they going to announce any Matt Gay field goals? I'm out, and I'll listen. Thanks.
They'll just say Matt alternative lifestyle or Matt homosexual. That's what they'll say when he goes out there to kick.
Move on from that. Matt Gay, yes. Matt Gay, a former Tampa Bay Buccaneer kicker for the L.A. Rams.
Has turned it around and had a resurgent season. It's been pretty solid. So let's go to the running back position here.
Hold on. You wanted me to take a call?
Oh, there's another. Knock him. Let's clear the lines.
Yep,
go ahead.
Let's clear the lines. And I do agree with the last caller that the Bengals will run all over the Rams. But we'll get to that. 901.
Hey, what's going on, Lummy? How you doing, Brian?
How's it going?
How's it going?
Hey, I do predict Joe Burrow pulling it out, but Brian, I have a question for you. Has Ted been a quarterback national championship and then turning around and winning the Super Bowl this week?
Has anybody ever done that? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Has there been a quarterback that's ever won the national championship and the Super Bowl?
Yes, there has.
There has.
But there hasn't been one that's also won the Heisman.
Yeah. And it's been a quick turnaround, too. I don't think anybody's done it this quickly in their career.
Joe Namath but he didn't do the Heisman.
Yeah. But that's the problem, is Bama has not produced good NFL quarterbacks, and they've won most of the national championships lately. So it hasn't happened in quite some time. But no, this would be a heck of a feat, and it would solidify Burrow as a champion. I mean, just a winner. You know, he would kind of have that Brady air about him all of a sudden, where you're like, wow, this kid's got the it factor, and knows how to win. Winning is such a special talent to have in the NFL. It's one of those intangibles that you can never measure. And some guys just don't have it. They've got the physical attributes, but they can't put it all together in crunch time. And so we'll see with Burrow, man. It'll be interesting to see. But thanks for the call.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Have a good one. Keep it straight there in Canada.
So running back position now. On the one side, you've got most likely going to be just a two-headed monster, Sony Michel and Cam Akers. On the other side, you've got Samaje Perine barely ever seeing the field with Joe Mixon taking the lion's share of the carries. Let's start with you, Lummy, and your breakdown at the running back position.
So I think Joe Mixon, obviously, as you can see, he really stepped up, especially in the passing game, kind of getting the drop-offs. I'm going to have to say, just because Cam Akers, what did he come back, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, he's been back for 3 weeks.
He's been banged up. I would really like if they had a Henderson. Obviously, he's not coming back. Sonny Michel, obviously, you could tell against the Bucks, he was a little fumble, so was Akers. I'm going to have to give this one, especially, what's his name, Samaje Perine?
Perine.
I'm going to have to give this one to the Bengals. I mean, they have played a lot better in the playoffs. I'm going to have to give this one to the Bengals. What about you?
Yeah, you know, this one's, I think, very, very close and could go either way. It's all going to depend upon how the offenses decide to utilize their backs, because I don't think this is the position that makes or breaks this game. You know, I think that's going to be on the Bengals side, it's going to be at quarterback, and on the Rams side, it's going to be on their D-line.
Can I ask you something real quick on that?
Mm-hmm.
So the Bengals, first quarter, how do you come out? Do you come out throwing a lot, or are you trying to establish the run game?
I'm going to set up some early quick crossers, quick hitters, or some screen passes. I have a feeling that the Rams are going to come out blitzing and try and get Burrow quickly and try and rattle him. And so I don't want to put Burrow in a position where he's taking a hard hit or a big sack on the first drive, is in a negative position. So I would try, thinking that the Rams are going to come out aggressive, I'm going to play towards that aggression and counter that with some conservative play calls that could pick up some chunk yards, get Burrow into a rhythm, and then go from there. I'm not going to take, you know, deep, you know, 20, 30 yard routes or anything like that, that he'd have to sit in the pocket for a while.
Cause I agree with you on the short slants. Cause Raheem Morris is known for that. Let's blitz him right out, that old school kind of thinking. Let's get in the quarterback's head. I can see a couple quick passes, a couple quick slants, or even some screen passes. They've been pretty good with Mixon and Perine on the screen passes. So I'm still having the stick, even though the offensive line for the Bengals, what I think they're going to do is they're going to do those little short, quick, all first quarter. And then I think in the second quarter, I think they're going to start going toward the run.
Yeah, and even though they were fumble prone, I still think the two-headed monster attack that the Rams have is a better approach than just relying on Mixon the whole game. So I'm going to give a slight edge to the Rams on this one. You got Cincy. Let's go to the phone call.
I think we're starting to see where we're heading on this game.
Yes.
641.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brandon the Quad.
What's up, Brandon?
Do you guys think if the Rams win, do you think Aaron Donald will be the MVP?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think defensive tackle has a real chance. I think it's like plus 1,800 for him, even though he's an excellent player. Unless he does a strip sack score that ends up being the difference maker in the game.
And he has like six sacks.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. Not with the elite talent level that you have at the wideout position and the quarterback position right now. Quarterbacks have won, I think, 7 of the last 10. You know, it's hard for any other player to have as big of an impact on the game. Now he may have a huge impact on the game, but from a scoreboard perspective, it's much easier to calculate and measure a quarterback's impact or a wide receiver's impact on a game than on a D tackle. I think the most likely non quarterback to win would be Cooper Kupp, and then followed by Chase, and then surprisingly Mixon, I think, would be my third non-quarterback position player, simply because of volume. It most likely won't be Michelle or Akers, because they're going to split up the touches on the Rams side, but on the Cincy side, I think Mixon could have an outside shot of being one of those impact guys.
That makes sense. And how many catches, do you think Odell Beckham will have? And if he doesn't have any, do you think he'll throw a fit?
Let me, you take it.
I don't hear what he's saying.
How many catches do you think Odell will have? And if he doesn't have any, do you think he'll throw a fit?
Oh, yeah, no, there's no way. Sorry, I couldn't hear him up here. Good job, Brian. I actually think there's no possible way that in the Rams that they're not going to throw the ball. It's almost like they made a guarantee that every game that they would have to throw at least five passes to Odell Beckham. I think Odell Beckham probably has about 7 to 8 catches in this game. I think he goes under 100 yards, but I still think he gets at 7 to 8 catches.
I think if the Rams have any chance of winning, he's going to have to get, you know, 5 or 6. He can't go out there and only catch 2 or 3 balls and them have a chance to win.
Well, Odell seems like he's that guy for Stafford. He does the comeback routes right around that first down. He's not picking up a lot of long yards.
He's filled the Robert Woods role, yep, which they needed to have done. And they had, you know, when they first acquired him, it wasn't coming together. But him and Stafford have found their rhythm and they're making it work.
Yeah, he's getting that 10 to 15 yard pass. What's his average? Yeah, 12.2 yards a reception.
Yeah, which is right in line. You know, he knows where the sticks are. He catches it on the sideline, high points the ball, gets those toes down. It's like having another Robert Wood out there. Now, Robert Woods was more of a deep threat than Odell, but they don't need Odell to be a deep threat in this
Cooper
offense.
Cup, yeah.
You got Van Jefferson running some streaks too. So Jefferson's really serve the role of decoy since Odell's emerged to kind of stretch the defense, keep the defense honest, and allow them to have Odell on those mid-range 10 to 15 yard routes.
Yeah, and I think it's going to have over 1,000 yards combined offense probably in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, Super Bowls are funny like that. The games you think are going to be super offensive don't always turn out that way. It's, you know, I think that'll really depend upon the game flow. If it's like the Bucs where they just jumped all over Kansas City and blew them out, then you'll see the offensive production go down, because if the Rams, let's say, get out, you know, 21-3, it could change their approach to the rest of the game and the chances they're willing to take on offense. Hopefully they don't go super conservative like Kansas City did, because Burrow has shown that he doesn't care and can come back.
Yep.
Good hearing from you, Brandon. We're going to keep going
on
positions.
Have a good rest of the show.
You too. Thanks, Brandon.
Wide receiver.
Yeah. We'll
talk about a position that is stacked.
Well, that's what I was looking at here on the on Odell Beckham. If you look, besides the 49ers, he had 9 receptions, 11 targets, 113. Against the Bucs, 6 for 8, 69, 4 for 4, 54, 2 for 5, 18. That's where they lost.
Yeah,
so
no,
if he averages his 5 to 7.
5 to 7 is a must for them to win. If he's catching more than 8 or 9 balls, as long as that's not at the expense of Cooper Kupp not catching much, then they should win the game. If he gets over 8 catches, I don't think the Rams will lose. I think 5 to 7 needs to be the range for them to have a chance to win. And if he's catching over 8, I think that's a very good indicator that the Rams are controlling this game.
Yeah, because the last game against the 49ers, they were coming from behind, and he had 9 catches, 11 targets, 9 catches. So you can see that, like you said, if he has more than that, then the Bengals are in control and the Rams are. And obviously Cooper Kupp didn't get his catches taken away last game. That guy's a superstar.
He's amazing. His route running is exceptional. His effort is top notch. His intelligence is off the charts, and his ball catching is amazing. I mean, the guy is a testament to hard work and effort. You know, he wasn't highly touted coming out of college, and he's found a way to emerge. And he's come back from a blown ACL, which is even more impressive and gives Chris Godwin a lot of hope to come back, because he could be on that level too.
So wide receiver, what are you thinking?
So, you know, I think I give the slightest of edges to Cincinnati on this one. Kupp is by far and away the clear number one. Jamar Chase is the number two, but then I do like Higgins and Tyler Boyd better than I like Beckham and Jefferson. Jefferson just isn't making an impact in the playoffs. I think he is more of a decoy. The Rams have good safety play, so I think his impact on this game will be even less than what it has been. And so for that reason, I give the slightest of edge, and I mean a hair of an edge. The same way I gave the Rams a hair of an edge because of depth, I'm doing the same with Cincinnati here.
Well, I have to go with the opposite, not because we're just picking opposite. I actually do like the wide receiver core led by Cooper Kupp. He is a complete superstar. I'm going to go because obviously the Rams cornerbacks, their whole system, I think they're going to shut down early on. They're going to shut down Chase. Hopefully Burrow doesn't try to force the ball to Chase. So T. Higgins is going to have to step up. And I feel that the Rams have a little bit, you know, better weapons on offense. So I'm going to have to go Rams.
Okay. Okay. So tight end position now. Up in the air for both teams. C.J. Uzomah has vowed that he will play. There has not been the same level of vow from Tyler Higbee, both dealing with sprained MCLs, both on paper, very similar tight ends. I think when healthy, that Higbee is slightly better than Uzomah. The problem for the Bengals is the backup. Blanton is better than the second round pick that the Bengals are running out there. The Bengals backup. Drew Sample. He's blocking well, but offensively he's not as much of a threat as Blanton. And for that reason, I give the edge at tight end slightly to the Rams. Obviously, if both Higbee and Uzomah can go, I give a slight edge to the Rams. If Higbee can't go and Uzomah can, then Cincy would have the edge. But based upon both of them playing, I think the Rams have the edge at the position.
I agree with you too. I mean, it obviously relies on the catching, but if the backup Drew plays, he has a better run blocker, which kind of changes up, I think, that kind of offense too. But I think they are going to maybe use Drew on more snaps just for the aspect of trying to protect Joe Burrow, because the Bengals offensive line is atrocious. So I'm going to have to give the advantage to the Rams.
So yep,
I think we finally agree on something.
That's our first agreement.
I know.
Is that the Rams have a slight edge at tight end.
And I actually had to cross your name out on the wide receiver because I definitely thought you were going to pick the Rams.
No, only because, again, that third, we see in these games a lot that the third wide receiver can make a huge difference. And Tyler Boyd out of the slot is a weapon. And, this is the difference. Any one of those Rams receivers can go for 100-plus yards and two touchdowns. Any one of the three of them. You can't say the same for the Rams. Jefferson's not going to do it.
You don't think so?
Not. Would you bet on Jefferson doing it?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, and that's the point. You would throw a couple bucks down on Boyd going over 100 yards in the game.
Yes, I would.
And that's the difference to me, is the depth. You know, Cooper Kupp's amazing, but so is Jamar Chase. His chemistry with Burrow is unmatched, right? So,
but oh, if we go number one to number one, Kupp or Chase, who are you taking?
Oh, I'm taking Kupp.
Okay, so there's one up. Beckham or Higgins?
Wash.
All right. So I guess you're at a technically tie. Then you got to go.
And then
go
Boyd, I have much higher than Jefferson. Okay. Enough to overcome the number one disparity between Kupp and Chase.
All right, I can see that. I mean, listen, I'll tell you right now, we move on to the offense line, I'm giving that to the Rams.
there's no reason to even discuss it. I mean, there's zero reason to discuss it. As long as they don't snap the ball past Stafford, they should be okay. There's no reason to discuss the OL at all.
Yeah,
let's just go to the D-line and get that the fuck out of the way. The Rams win this game in the trenches. If they're going to win this game, they win it in the trenches. That's where they have the absolute clear advantage. And the offensive line is why I give Stafford the advantage over Burrow. It's not because he's better as a quarterback per se. It's because he's going to have better protection than Burrow will at the quarterback position. And so for that reason, even though it's not it's not purely based on the QB position, it's based on the position that the QB is going to be in.
But if you look at how the Bengals played the Chiefs in that second half with Mahomes and how they just kind of dropped back in that prevent, they let Mahomes sit around. They didn't really rush much. They didn't give much pressure. they let Mahomes kind of make the mistake. You know, maybe he sat back there for, you know, 5 seconds, 4 or 5 seconds, and then they may, you know, brought the spy in. But when you look at it,
they were getting coverage stacks. They were covering. But, yeah.
And Stafford's not as mobile as Mahomes.
No, but he also won't make the same mistakes Mahomes made. I mean, Mahomes lost that game.
He did, 100%.
Let's face it. He lost that game. And so, you know, he made critical mistakes. And if Stafford doesn't make those same critical mistakes, look, Mahomes doesn't throw the pick, doesn't take the huge sacks, all of that. We're probably talking about Kansas City in the championship game versus LA.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's another aspect of this. It's not so much that Burrow went out there and won the game for Cincinnati. It's that Mahomes went out there and lost it.
Big buck, 500 stars. Thank you.
So
no, I agree.
We'll see what happens here. But again, I just, with the offensive line being what it is, the Bengals will have not faced this level of a pass rush in the playoffs yet. And so, to me, that's the difference maker. Is that they're, I mean, they had what, nine? They gave up 9 sacks in that first round game.
Yeah,
against the Raiders, was it?
And the Ravens.
The Raiders.
Raiders, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Now the Raiders have a good defensive line, and they've got a sack specialist on their D line, and but he's not Aaron Donald. And so, you know, I think that's where this game will be won or lost. If the Rams D line performs up to their capabilities, I think the Rams will win this game. But you know, I think it's pretty clear in the trenches, the Rams got this. Now let's look at linebacker position.
81390 BUBBA.
Let's start inside.
Hold on. Let me ask you on the defensive line, cause I was looking at their schedule real quick. Has the Bengals played anyone that you would say compare to the Rams defensive line?
Let me take a look.
Because I'm looking, you know, obviously Minnesota, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Green Bay, Detroit, Baltimore, New York, Cleveland, Vegas.
I mean, Cleveland would be the closest thing.
Maybe San Francisco? Do they have everyone healthy there?
And they lost that game.
They did.
Yeah.
In overtime.
Yeah. I mean, and they lost, you know, one of the Cleveland games. Both of the Cleveland games. The two teams they played that have the best pass rush beat them. They did manage to beat the Broncos, but, you know.
Yeah, well, Teddy Bridgewater I don't think was playing that game. Isn't that the game he got hurt?
And they lost to the Packers. Decent, not great, but decent. So, you know, I'm looking at this here. It doesn't – that concerns me. If I'm pulling for the Bengals here or planning on betting on them, that the Browns were able to beat them twice. Now, granted, the last game wasn't much of an effort, but the 49ers one sticks out to me as well as a concerning loss, at home.
If you look at every loss that they had, Mixon was under 100 yards.
Yeah, and the
every one.
And the only loss that they had where they scored over 20 points or 20 where they scored over 23 points was against the Jets. But other than that, you know, that's the other way to beat them. 23 points seems to be the magic threshold for them, with the exception of the Broncos game, which is always an exception. Every team played them. If they scored more than 23 points, they won the game.
Yeah. Too bad, Teddy Bridgewater. We'll see what happens when he comes to Tampa. The middle linebacker position. I'm going to have to get the – I mean, it's a little different because they play both two different – you know, they got a 3-4 to a 4-3. I'm going to have to give the linebacker position to the Bengals.
Yeah, it's the Bengals. Yeah. It's the Bengals. The Rams linebackers are a weak spot for them. I think the Bengals – linebackers are better.
The Rams linebackers, they benefit from obviously the defensive line. So, and the Bengals, I feel like they just play overround a lot better from, you know, pass to rushing. So I guess we're both going Bengals on that one.
Yeah, the Rams linebackers are probably their weakest position group.
Cornerbacks, we could just do the whole back.
Well, I think there's a differentiation here, though, because I give play at cornerback the edge to a different team than I give play at safety.
I give the cornerbacks to the Rams.
Cornerbacks does go to the Rams, but safety in a big way goes to the Bengals. Their safeties are exceptional.
I did not know that the Bengals had Vernon Hargreaves, old first-round pick for the Buccaneers. He was a bust.
Yeah.
He's in the third, whatever. I actually have to agree with you. I mean, I think the defenses are pretty clear on who's better from the offense, you know, to the defense. The defense, the positions kind of just stick out. It's easier to see. The Rams have a lot better players in most positions. Where on the offense, like a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, it's kind of a toss-up, even with the tight end, too.
But I think the Rams' safety play, I mean, the Bengals' safety play is what could help them win this game, because if you can stop from what happening to the Bucs, I mean, let's face it, the Bucs don't have that breakdown, then they're probably in this game, too.
The breakdown, that was a worst play call.
I mean, terrible.
Just play prevent.
Terrible
play prevent
call.
First half.
But if you're the safety, you need to stay back on that, and Winfield came up on it.
He got aggressive.
Yeah, and he needs to stay back. If you're corner blitzing on that, you've got to have your safety stay as deep as possible.
Especially when you're playing a wide receiver.
And he
like
took
Cup.
That. He took us two steps forward, and it was over at that point. As soon as Cup saw him do that, as soon as Stafford saw him do that, Cup just took off. It was a dead streak.
It was so bad.
It was unfortunate. But yeah, so positionally here, I gave the Rams the edge at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, we didn't do special teams.
I'm going to go Bengals on that one.
No, this one goes to the Rams. Now,
no,
McPherson's
Bengals.
A good kicker. Huber has not been punting well for the Bengals. His punting is off, and for that reason, both of the specialists for the Rams have been solid. I give the slightest of edges to the Rams in this.
You forgot about the long snapper.
Yeah, I did.
I'm going to have to give the long snapper.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I've heard of the Bengals, which puts me over the bed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bengals on special teams.
Okay.
I mean, you can't go wrong against Clark Harris from Rutgers.
He's used to long snapping.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
If you played for Rutgers.
Yeah.
So I gave the Rams the edge at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 position groups. You gave Cincy the edge at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 position groups. And 5 to the Rams.
Yep.
And I've got, 3 to Cincy.
Yep.
So, and I think that's accurate, though.
I think
that's correct. The only one I think that's there's two that are coin tosses potentially. It's quarterback and running back. But again, I've stated why I think the Rams have, even at running back, you've got a better offensive line. You've got a better chance to run the ball and for your running backs to perform.
I still think it's kind of close with wide receivers. I know you don't like Jefferson. It's a way, but I still think
it's super close. It's super close. I say the slightest of edges, and that's only because of depth, and it has nothing to do with, Boyd has 890 yards on the season, 77 catches, and 6 receiving touchdowns. I mean, that's for most teams, that's number two receiver numbers there. Higgins, 88 catches, 1,300 yards, 6 touchdowns. And then Chase, of course, 101, 17, 34, and 14. So it's that balance there. It's the balance that I like and think it makes it a whole lot harder to cover those three than it does to cover the Rams three. Consistently. Well, but I think the Rams have better cornerbacks to cover those three than Cincy has to cover the Rams three.
But then the safeties come in play.
But then the safeties, well, the safeties will take away the threat of Jefferson, which hopefully then they can focus a little bit more. If you're the Bengals, you don't have to stop Cooper Kupp. You just have to stop Odell Beckham.
Those first down passes.
If you can stop Odell, then you can allow Cooper, let Cooper have 150 yards receiving. It won't matter if Odell only has like 4 for 50, and the frustration factor will come in. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. does not have it between the ears. If you can get in his head and take him out of his game early and make him frustrated and make the Rams look away from him, I think he's going to start to show his true colors.
His dad's going to be tweeting and telling him how he needs to get the ball more at halftime.
I mean,
get in his head.
His family's no more annoying than Mahomes.
Mahomes?
His family's the worst.
Are they? I mean, Mahomes is pretty bad, though.
What, the family?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mahomes' family is the worst.
The brother.
Yeah, the brother and his wife. They're both fucking awful. They're terrible people.
I agree with you on that one.
They're terrible people.
I wanted to go through a couple of these prop bets, too, for the game. Is there any prop bets that you normally bet on?
Not so much. I don't have the offshore sports betting apps. I don't break the law. So I don't have a vehicle to make these types of bets.
Okay, well, if you did and we're doing
this. If I did, I'll definitely tell you what I would go with.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the national anthem over is solid every year. I'm not familiar with the singer this year.
The country singer?
Yeah.
African-American country
singer? But I like it to go long, more than 1 minute and 35 seconds. I mean, some of these years it's gone almost 2 minutes. Yeah. So I think I like the over on the length of the national anthem. I think heads or tails.
Flip a coin, see what happens.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that bet. It's literally 50-50. The only thing you can go wrong with is you're definitely losing the juice on that one.
Yeah. What do you think I like here right here? The most passing yards. Matt Stafford, -114. Joe Burrow's -106. Like right now, it's a
tough one, right? I mean,
yeah.
that shows just how close this, when we're rating the quarterbacks here, that just shows how close it is. That even the betting line is almost dead even on who's going to have the most yards. This one's tough too, because you know the backs are the X factor. You know, how much are they going to rely and trust Akers and Michelle at this point with you know, if Stafford's throwing the ball well.
But are you also looking, if it depends on what team also comes out?
I think you bet those based upon who you think's going to win the game.
Yeah,
I think if you think the Rams are going to win, then you bet Stafford to have the most yards.
Or you could say who comes out with a hot start. I mean,
but
you can't make that bet.
I mean, you can make that bet after the fact in game, but a lot of books don't allow it.
Yeah, well, the Bengals come out quick, go 21-3 halftime. Well, obviously,
Stafford's going to be throwing from behind
exactly
the whole time, and the Bengals are going to be running,
and the Bengals are going to be running. But you know, the Bengals still could win. So, but they're not going to, yeah. So it all depends on that. Like the most receiving yards, I think that's almost a gimme with Cooper Kupp. -120. The next one's Jamar Chase +340.
I mean, I like the value on Chase there. I mean, I think Kupp's the most likely to win, but you're getting 3-1, over 3-1 money on Chase, who very easily could. He could go for 200 yards in this game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they could shut down Higgins and Boyd.
I mean, let's not forget, Evans did very well against Ramsey in that game. Jalen Ramsey did not shut Mike Evans down.
What did Evans have in that game?
I think he ended up with, 80 or 90 yards, and he had the big touchdown catch at the end.
Two TDs, right?
Yeah. And I think both of them came with Ramsey on him. So, Ramsey is good. He's not the shutdown he once was.
Most rushing yards, Joe Mixon, Cam Akers, -105, Cam Akers, 100. I think you go with
Mixon. Yeah, I like Mixon simply because of volume. He's not going to be splitting the reps the same way that Akers will be, most likely.
Yeah, I think Perrine.
Evans went 8 for 119 and a touchdown.
Oh, he only had one? I thought he had two. Oh.
No, he only had one, and Cooper went Cooper Kupp went 9 for 183 and a touchdown, but like 80 on the last two plays of the game.
Tim Butler asked, McPherson over 1.5 field goals.
I like that. I see him kicking two.
I like the Bengals guy kicking two too.
That is McPherson.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like Matt Gay. Sorry, yeah. Matt Gay. I meant both of them getting at least 2 to 3 field goals.
I think with the sack factor that the Bengals is more of a sure thing, because I think the goal line defense. I think if since he's going to score consistently, they're going to score from 20 yards out.
Because they're putting the same exact over and under 7.5 on both kickers, so on total points.
Yeah, I see that. I like the over for Gay, because I think he could get one field goal and 5 touchdowns potentially.
McPherson's got a pretty good leg though.
Yeah, McPherson I like too, because I see him kicking 2 field goals and then he's just got to kick 2 extra points.
No, Camper Scott, there is no over and under on the total number of sacks, which is very disappointing. Brian thinks there's going to be 4 to 5 sacks.
Well, I know. I think the number for the Rams against the Bengals would be probably around 5.5, 4.5 to 5.5 if there was a line on it. I mean, the Bengals gave up 55 sacks in the regular season. That's, essentially 3.5 to 4 game. I would be interested to see when they did play. And I'll have to look at this real quick. When they did play against the Browns that first game, how many sacks the Browns had on them? Because I could see something similar happen here. And
I think did they have 7 that game? The first time they played,
yeah, the 41-16 game. Let's see here. Let me get the team stats. They sacked him.
Looking at the stats, I'm trying to pull it up.
I got it right here. They've got him 5 times. They sacked him 5 in that game. So, and then
that's,
and then the other one would have been the San Francisco game. San Francisco's D line is not quite as good as LA's.
What game was it that he got sacked 8 times?
The 9 sacks was against the Raiders. The Raiders.
What do you think
against San Francisco, he got dropped again 5 times.
So you're looking at about 5
sacks.
That's
what I said, 4.5 to 5.5 sacks is probably where the over-under would be on this.
But those defense line, their line is better than those.
That's
guys.
Why I thought it might be as much as 5.5. Against the Titans, though, after that sackapalooza that was put on him, that he got dropped. He got dropped 9 times.
Raiders. Now on the Raiders, jumping off Super Bowl real quick. What do you think of that hire, Josh McDaniels?
I mean, he's a good mind. It's not a terrible hire.
Really?
Yeah, really. I don't think it's a terrible hire.
Because I know a lot of people that like the Broncos said that he's just not a good coach.
Well, we'll see quickly.
Or do you think that he learned from his experience of the first time going back and having to coach with the Patriots again, that he's going to come back and kind of be that player's coach? Because that's what Bastaccio was.
Yeah, it's tough when you try to emulate somebody if your personality is not a perfect mix, right? You can't not – if everybody could be Bill Belichick, everybody would be Bill Belichick as a coach. So I think that's where coaches – their difficulty in transitioning from coordinator to head coach is kind of finding their own voice and finding their own style, because I think there's such an easy out for them to just try and emulate how the guy before them did it. And you really can't just take what Belichick and his personality does and try and do that if you're not him. So it's important for these guys to be themselves and to coach a way that fits their personality and their style.
Now I want to get your on the new coaching hires too. I mean, what do you think about the Lovie Smith hire?
Oh wait, let's finish this off.
Well, no,
let's
I was
finish,
do that
hold on,
the
let's
end.
No, let's finish it off right now. We don't need to keep suspense.
Ugh.
Some people got to go at one. Let's get our Super Bowl picks in, because I want to go over our season predictions too.
Yeah.
You've got the audio cut up that you've been working so hard on, and I want to start going through that.
Okay.
So I've got I've got the Rams 31, the Bengals 27.
I got the Bengals 34, the Rams 28.
All righty.
Who do you think MVP is?
Well, in my scenario, it's most likely Stafford. It could be Kupp.
So Stafford with the plus 125, Kupp with the plus 550. In my scenario, you got Burrow or Chase, which
it's got to be Burrow. If you're scoring, putting up 34, which means they scored four touchdowns, most likely three of those are through the air.
Which the Burrow is plus 230 and Chase is plus 2,500.
Yeah, I like Chase at plus 2,500 to just throw $20 down.
Yeah, that would be a nice little payout.
You turn that into $500 easy.
Yeah, especially if you know, Chase comes up with like 13 catches for 180 yards and two TDs and Burrow doesn't throw to anyone else. You know, and it's a field goal game, maybe some run mixing. Mixon gets after it with a touchdown, Perrine, whatever. They just do different things. Quarterback rush or Burrows. What color Gatorade too?
Oh, it's got to be green.
Green?
Yeah. Because I'm going with the Rams and that's more along their colors. If it's the Bengals, I'm going to go with orange.
I'm going to have to go with, the orange and red or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is based on who do you think is going to win the game. And I think the Rams are going to win, so I'm going with green.
Unless you're kind of
yellow, lemon, lime, green, you know, that sort of color scheme.
Yeah.
And red or orange, I think, is Bengals, if you think they're going to win.
What about your coin toss? What are you picking right now?
Give me heads. Actually, no, tails. Tails never fails.
I'm going heads then. I guess we'll just go opposite on that. So red, pink. Orange is plus 270.
Going with orange or red pink?
I'm looking at the odds. Oh, red pink 960. I'm going red pink 960. So you're going yellow, green, and lime for plus 360.
Yeah.
What's the blue? Blue is the favorite. Oh, because the Rams. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's plus 230.
But I think fewer players like the flavor blue. And if I'm a player, I want that lemon lime Gatorade on the sideline. Unless they had, do they have Gatorades that are just sitting there waiting for it to splash the coach? Is that like a deal? Or do they just take whatever cooler is around?
Well, I know before they would always show the players running over.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying is is there a designated Gatorade dump cooler?
You know what, Brian? If you think about it, when you watch that, you always see a guy pointing to the cooler to grab. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
If you always watch when they're like, you know, they're going and you always see that one guy that's like kind of like pointing.
So here's, did you hear that where the real reason why I think the Rams are going to win? Are you familiar with this?
No, Brian, I would love to. Oh, the jersey.
That the Bengals chose to go with white, even though the team with a non-white jersey has won, I think, 17 of the last 20 Super Bowls.
Really?
Yeah. Big mistake. You always go with your colors. Let your real colors shine through.
What fans wear the most jerseys to the game?
Oh, it's got to be Rams fans because they all got new jerseys to show off.
But aren't you that like LA guy that wants to wear your old one? But the Bengals, I mean, isn't that all the Bengals wear to a game is jersey?
Well, they're all douchey, so I'm sure it'll be a pretty even percentage split, but if you're going by pure numbers, there's got to be more Rams fans at this game.
I don't know. I saw something on the news that showed like their pep rally or something, and it was barely anybody at their little pep rally. Is it just because there's so much stuff to do in LA?
They're not on vacation. They're at home. They're working their jobs. You know, the Cincy fans are there on vacation. They're making a whole trip out of it.
Wow. I was going to make a joke about the jersey thing, but I'm just going to go. So, Brian, back to what I was saying on the head coaching. We got to get out next. We got to go to at least a baseball game, Brian, with jerseys.
No.
No, I'm saying just to talk to people. Because baseball also, like the Red Sox or the Yankees come in town, if baseball's still a thing. The head coaching hires. What do you think of Lovie Smith? becoming the head coach of the Texans?
I think it would have been Brian Flores' job, but I do agree with his lawyer. But for the fact that he spoke out, I think that Lovie Smith, if they were going to go with him, they would have just named him very quickly. He was already in-house. He's already there. I think that Flores, definitely his lawsuit cost him that job, but it's a blessing. That team's going to be absolute trash for the foreseeable future.
No, see, I thought Flores definitely was going to get that job, which I then thought there was no way Deshaun Watson was going to be out. Now, Lovie Smith, I don't feel like he has any loyalty to Deshaun Watson. He's probably going to toe the company line. So saying that, do you see Watson getting out?
I don't see any situation where Watson plays for Houston next season. I don't care who the head coach is. I think there is no way that he plays a down of football for them. Otherwise, why wouldn't you have played him this year?
But you know what the biggest mind fuck would be? Is if the Texans traded Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins for Tua.
Well, that would only be if they hired Flores as the head coach.
Wouldn't that be do you think if they did hire Flores for the coach and they did that, you think he'd quit instantly?
I think he would not be long for that job.
Now, with Tua, I mean, so this new coach that they got from the offense coordinator, I don't even really know much about the San Francisco 49ers offense coordinator. Do you know much about him?
I know he ran some innovative offense. I know that, you know, he found a way to run an offense with Jimmy G as his starting quarterback and win some games. I know that he recognized how dynamic of a talent Deebo Samuel is and the need to get the ball in his hands as much as possible. I also know that it doesn't matter who their running back is, that they can make any running back work. That's all I really know about their offense. And it features the tight end pretty well, if he has a superstar tight end.
Galecki actually is pretty good.
Gesicki?
Whatever the hell his name is.
He's
good. Like he's has okay. Hands.
He's serviceable.
There you go. He's serviceable.
He's not Kittle.
No, but he's good enough, but with an average quarterback like Tua. I mean,
an average quarterback like Tua, he actually should be putting up huge numbers because the tight end position is a good check down and it's a safe, you know, route running. You know, it's an easier route to hit.
Well, you would
typically.
Think that, but it doesn't seem that Tua likes to do that little check down right there. And maybe it was the play calling that Flores had in there, but it never seemed like they were doing the check downs with the tight ends. They were sending them a little deeper. It was almost like the tight ends were going a little deeper than the wide receivers.
Well, because, yeah, the receivers were staying so short.
Exactly. So it just seemed like it was totally opposite. So, I mean, that just obviously still throws a thing. Then Kyle Murray now taking all his stuff down. I mean, what's your opinion on that? I mean, people are now saying, oh, Kyle Murray could come to the Bucs.
How?
Trade for him, I guess. I'm just saying what, you know.
You really think that they
No,
would
I
do
don't
that?
Think that at
okay.
all. I'm just saying what people said. I mean, but why did Kyle Murray take all his stuff off his social media?
I don't know. Let's get him on the phone.
All right.
I mean, Gesicki was being used as a check down a lot. 73 catches on the year. That was number two receiver on that Dolphins team.
Well, I watched a lot of tight end. I mean, not tight end. I watched a lot of Dolphins game because my wife's a Dolphins fan. He wasn't getting a lot. Like,
no, he had a lot of longer plays. He actually had more big plays than Waddle, which is kind of crazy.
His average
10.7. Which is higher than Waddle's.
Which by the way, shouldn't be your tight end should not have a higher average
than your number one star wideout who has a lot of talent. Yeah, I know. That's problematic.
And realistically, I just pulled up his stats now. He had a 780 yards, almost 1,000 yards, and what was it? 28 less targets, so
fewer targets.
Whatever. But
although Gronk averaged 13, but Evans was still 14, so there you go.
Yeah, but that offense is a little different than what I mean. Look at Tom Brady had over 5,000 yards. Tua had 2,600 yards.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, like, where do you see do you think the Cardinals are going to trade Kyle Murray?
Why?
Because it looks like he's not happy in Arizona. You think he tries to jump on like with a Russell Wilson?
He's not going to do well with any other coach. He's got his head coach he's going to succeed with.
But he's not happy, Brian.
So he'll need to learn to be fucking happy. He doesn't. He has not earned the ability to force a trade in this league. Let's be real. Well, hasn't earned shit. So he can go back and do what the first round number one pick does, and that's play out his rookie contract.
Or you know what they could do, which I think he would succeed, is Kyler Murray to the Texans.
You think he would succeed with absolutely no weapons around
him?
Oh, no,
I don't think, listen, if Kyler Murray all of a sudden wants to get traded, where I feel like the Cardinals have invested everything around Kyler Murray to make Kyler Murray better, with wide receivers, the running backs, everything like that, I think that they've been trying to make that offense better. They put all their eggs in his basket, and for him to have a hissy fit, I guess, for some reason, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
His little midget ass will fall in line.
Whoa.
What?
It's small.
I'm sorry. His short ass will fall in line and play the part that he's supposed to play, which is become a better quarterback, because you didn't carry your team down the stretch.
Now, was it his fault, or is that because now he's having a hissy fit and he's being kind of a pussy because everyone is blaming it almost on a Kyler Murray, where he's kind of maybe thinking it's his team?
19 to 34 for 137 yards and two picks against the Rams.
Maybe it's his play calling.
19 of 34. His QBR was 8.
What was it?
8. He had an 8 QBR.
That's pretty bad.
His season QBR was 57.4. This is good enough for 7th in the league. He had an 8 against the Rams in the playoffs. He had an 8 against Seattle when they could have won the division. He had a 38.6 against Seattle when he could have won the division.
Some people are saying that he could go back to baseball.
He can go wherever he wants. I can tell you this right now. He's not playing a snap at quarterback for any team but Arizona next year.
So on the quarterbacks that are kind of up for grabs, how would you rank them? Like, the rumors about
Deshaun
being traded.
Watson's number one.
Over like a Russell Wilson?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he is.
Even with all Deshaun Watson's problems and all his bullshit that he's going through?
I think if you're talking about how do you rate him, like most likely to be traded or who would I want leading my team?
Most likely
to be traded is Deshaun Watson. Who would I want leading my team? I would still want Deshaun Watson.
All right, so you're in the Deshaun Watson.
Well, I like him. And the only reason I give the edge over him over Rodgers, who's really not even in the market, there's two spots, but is because he's younger.
No, I'm going to say Wilson, Murray, Watson.
Cousins, Carr.
Yeah, Cousins and Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo. But I already know how I think you feel. I feel like you think of Jimmy G as like a Dr. Dan Diaco. So.
What do you mean?
Dr. Dan's all excited that Jimmy G could come to the Bucks, and I could see you saying, fuck no.
Why is he excited about that? Because he doesn't know football?
I don't know. He just he was excited that there's a possibility that Jimmy G...
Does he think he's hot? I mean, does he think they're going to become buddies?
I mean, they have that Italian kind of lineage together, and Anna has
said
that...
They both like big-breasted porn stars? I'm trying to figure out the connection here.
I don't know. Anna said that Jimmy G kind of has a little, Dan Diaco look to him, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, he's a much better-looking Dan Diaco, yes.
Oh, what a dick, Brian.
I mean, it's the truth.
Oh, Carson Wentz, too.
Yeah.
So you still are stuck with Watson?
I'm not stuck with him. I think he's an exceptional talent, and he's healthy. He's had a year to stay fresh. I think absolutely Watson would be the number one target if I had the option, if I'm looking to build a franchise-winning quarterback and system.
Eat more co-sauce at Jameis back to the Bucs. No way. There's no way that the Bucs can bring back Jameis. Now, with all these quarterbacks, where do you put Jameis in there? Do you think the Saints try to bring him back?
I would put Jameis in the kind of the category of Wentz and to a lesser extent Bridgewater.
Oh.
And those guys. Just only because even with the limited number of snaps he took this season, he didn't show too much. I mean, he showed that the quarterback whisperer could make him decent as a quarterback, and that the Saints, who had an exceptional defense this year, could win games with a quarterback not going out there and losing them games.
You know what it is, right? It's that the Winston lovers are just sucking up that first game against the Packers.
I mean, he had 14 touchdowns versus 3 picks on the season. His quarterback rating was 102.8. He was playing okay, but 190 yards a game in this NFL is not going to cut it.
All he was doing was checking down the whole time. I watched games.
59% completion percentage in this NFL is not going to do it. Yeah, but you average two touchdown passes a game. You're doing well in the NFL as a quarterback.
Yeah, how about you throw to Kamara and Kamara runs for 55 yards?
I mean, it helps.
It helps
but,
a lot.
I mean, that's a weapon on that team. That's a dynamic that he brings to the table.
Listen, you or I could go out
Look,
there and
Alvin
say,
Kamara will
and
come
I
up here right
ball.
Now and knock you the fuck out. He
yeah,
doesn't
don't
give
get on
a
my
shit.
Elevator, okay, buddy?
Alvin Kamara doesn't give a fuck, and he'll knock your ass out, Lummy.
Does anything happen to him?
I imagine he's going to miss a game or two.
You think just one or two? I mean, you heard that story, right?
I don't know the full story. I know he was arrested for assaulting somebody at a nightclub
no,
in Vegas.
So I guess after the game, reports came out now that him and his boys were in an elevator, and there was a guy that wanted to get into the elevator to go upstairs, and Kamara put his hand and pushed him out of the elevator.
And did he fall backwards and hit his head?
No. So I guess
because they said the original report I heard said that the guy was in the hospital.
He was. So Kamara pushed him, put his hands on him. So the guy like kind of pushed him back, and then like him and I think it was like four guys just beat the living crap out of the guy.
Mm.
That's not a good look. I guess they pummeled him pretty bad.
Yeah. Was Kamara one of the ones pummeling?
Yes.
Mm. I haven't seen the video. Have you?
No, I have not seen the video. I'm just going off of what I guess the reports are. So, yeah, that's not good. But a lot of people said that it's probably just going to get kind of swept under
the
rug.
No, he'll get a 2 or 3 game suspension out of it.
Obviously.
And he'll probably plead no contest and
settle with the guy.
Yeah.
How much do you think that will cost Kamara?
A cool mil.
That's it?
Yeah.
What if the guy has like a brain
injury?
Well,
I mean, obviously, if he's never going to be able to walk or talk again, it's going to cost him a lot more. But
like, if you just saw that right now, how much would you want to go after Kamara from? Let's say the guy has he was in the hospital for 4 weeks and he has like a little brain injury.
I mean, if he's like intensive care and has significant brain injury, then we're looking for multi millions. But if it's something that pretty, he was banged up and battered and bruised, but he's going to be okay. $1 million is a really nice amount of money to get for something like that. So it would really just depend on how bad his injuries are.
So
the quicker, now if he's not that badly injured, the quicker you settle it, the better the result will be, because Kamara wants to put this away. He doesn't want the criminal case to be resolved and then all of a sudden the lawsuit comes after. It's much better for him if he's got the lawsuit settled, from a PR perspective, from an NFL penalty perspective, have the civil portion of it settled, and then settle out, plea out whatever you're going to do on the criminal side, and then be done with it. You don't want this to come up into and carry over into the season. So the value of settling it is much higher early for the plaintiff, especially if his injuries are not that significant.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. What do you think, sticking with the NFC South, that little...
When are we going to do our recap from the audio from preseason
picks?
Do.
That's what we do right before the show
no,
ends.
Let's do
we
it right now. Come on.
So what do you think of the Tom Brady audio?
I don't care about any of this stuff. I want to go through our preseason predictions.
You did that on the previously, don't
no,
you?
No, we
did you
not.
Hear it?
We did our Super Bowl only. We made a ton of predictions. Divisions... Teams, there was a ton of predictions, not just who was going to win the Super Bowl. You didn't cut up the audio, did you?
Well,
you didn't cut up the audio. Just admit that you were lazy. I've asked this from you for 4 weeks now.
The audio was, it got eight. So what I was cutting the tapes. See, we were on tapes. We were cutting them. And when we cut them, they cut a little short. So
no, they cut off like the last 7 minutes of the show. I saw that. I saw that it was like you had an hour and 13 to cut up there.
So
just admit you didn't do it.
I've been working on it hardcore.
You haven't. Play me one audio clip.
All right. You want me to play one audio clip?
I want to hear one non-Super Bowl prediction audio clip, yes.
Oh, hold on. Let's take this call while I pull it up real quick. 519.
You're just going to play audio and then cut it off.
519.
You're so full of you.
Well, you guys, how you guys doing today?
I'm pretty
good.
Pissed at Lummy, quite honestly.
No, we're good.
Because he's
worry
been
about
lying
it.
To me for a month.
No, I got
yes.
it.
No, you're a liar.
Let's
you're
go.
A liar.
519. We had a big-time phone call
you're
here.
A liar.
Hey, I have a question.
You're on with
here.
Babyface and Liarface.
Oh, whatever.
What do you guys think of them changing the rules or potentially changing the rules for real quarterback interceptions? You know, if you pick, if you throw it to the opposite team or the defense, it's an interception. But if the ball gets deflected or it gets hands or whatever, it shouldn't be considered a quarterback interception.
I think the only time it shouldn't be, and this is, I guess, impactful from a fantasy football perspective only, otherwise it really doesn't matter, is when it hits the receiver dead in the hands. Dead in the hands. And it ends up, you know, it'd be like judging an error in baseball. It hits the receiver dead in the hands and then gets picked off. If it's tipped, that's on the quarterback. Sorry, but you've got to throw a ball that's not going to get tipped by a defender before it gets to your receiver. If it's tipped by another player on your team and gets picked off that wasn't the intended receiver, again, that's on the quarterback. You got to call and run plays that aren't, you know. So from that standpoint, I would say only if it hits your receiver dead in the hands and it absolutely should have been a catch and it wasn't.
Okay.
Lummy?
No, I agree with everything
you
said.
Are you listening
to
audio up there and just figuring out your next lie?
No, I agree with everything you said. I appreciate it, 519.
You know what I don't appreciate? Being lied to by my co-host.
I don't appreciate
it. For 4 weeks now, you told me I'm working on it.
I was working on it.
You weren't. You weren't, though. You weren't working on cutting up any audio.
I was working on it. I was working on some other stuff that we've talked about.
No, you were hoping. This is Lummy.
I know you would never forget.
Don't bullshit me, buddy.
I'm not bullshitting you.
Okay, you were hoping to punt it down because I told you I have a hard out at 1:30 today. You were hoping to get it punted all the way down to the end of the show so you could say, we don't have time, and then, oh, we'll do it next week. That's what you were hoping for.
Brian,
just admit it.
I'm not.
So where's the audio?
I'm
for hoping we get
now.
I
can't play it because of all the.
No, you were trying to play it. You're full of shit.
Brian, I'm telling you.
Just take the L, buddy. I'd be a whole lot less mad at you if you just own your lie and your mistake.
I'm not, Brian.
You didn't edit the audio.
I didn't edit. It's not complete yet.
It's not even partially. It's not started yet.
Yes, it is. It's on my computer. I haven't been able to get every single thing, because if you remember, our shows were back on Twitch and getting the different audios that I need. That
it was also on Bar.
Yes, but that doesn't record on Bar. Bar doesn't record
ever.
Huh? No. We would have to physically go back there, hit the record button on the other computer, and you always get it on Twitch. And Brian, Twitch shows on video take a lot of room, and I do other stuff. That my laptop doesn't have that much hard drive space, so I have to do show by show.
Yeah, show by show.
And that's what I'm working on.
Yeah, but it was it was one main show where we gave the vast majority of our predictions.
That's the one I got to get because I thought it. No, hold on. I thought it was the 9-6 one with Tyler. Because how many shows did we do with Tyler?
I think he was only on one or two.
I know. Hold on.
It didn't last long.
Hold on. That's the one I was working on because I thought that our prediction was the one with Tyler because I couldn't find our prediction. So did we do a show before Tyler?
Lummy, I don't know.
No, but
I know
you've had
4 weeks. 4 weeks to do this, and you told me you were doing it the whole time.
I was working on it.
Yeah, so diligently.
I was working on it.
I know, to the bone. Sweating every night.
I was.
Jesus Christ, man.
Do you know how much other stuff I'm editing down there, Brian? Keeping you.
If you had told me, Brian, I'm not going to have time to do it.
I did.
I don't. No, time out. If you had been on and said, Brian, I've got too much to edit. I've got too many other jobs. The show that we do is not as important as the other things I have going on. I will not be able to get to it by the Super Bowl show. It's going to be a few more weeks. Then I wouldn't have been upset with you.
Brian?
It's the fact that for 4 weeks now, I said, hey, Lummy, I want to have that for the Super Bowl show. Hey, Lummy, because the Super Bowl, you can only talk about so much. We have an hour and a half show to do here. There's no other games.
I know,
so
Brian.
Why didn't I do it myself? Because I don't edit the audio. It's not called the Brian Sports Show with Lummy. It's called the Lummy Sports Show. Somebody on YouTube is like, why didn't you do it?
Listen, Brian, hold on. Listen to me. Seriously, I downloaded that one, and I planned on...
You downloaded one show weeks
no,
and
Brian,
finally listened to it today?
You're being a lawyer. No, Brian, because I said I had the other ones that I listened to. See, Brian, we don't take show notes and different things, so I have to go and skim through all the shows, and we do picks and things like that. when I went through the different shows that I was finding, I found our Super Bowl pick one. I found some other ones. I didn't find where we broke down every division.
We made a lot of predictions. There was plenty of predictions from the 2 weeks before the season started that I think we were doing this show.
Exactly.
That you could have easily cut up 20 clips to have the audio to show.
That's what I thought that 9-6 one was, and it wasn't the 9-6 one. Because
it's fine, we'll move on. It's fine. You've been telling me you've been working on it for 4 weeks.
I have. I've been working on the other ones.
You've been working on it. I get it.
I've been working
on getting to the point that you can work on it. I understand now what that means. It's okay.
No, I've been getting to the point of having to listen to the old shows that
you told
I had.
Me today that you had it ready to go. And so you lied to me at least about that.
Why did I tell you that?
You're a filthy liar.
Don't read Donkey Teeth's thing.
No.
Him and you are on team Donkey Teeth, okay?
Donkey Teeth and I, great minds think alike.
Yeah, of course.
This is the bottom line is this, Lummy. When I walked into the studio today, I said, do you have the audio cut up? You said, yeah, but not our Super Bowl predictions because the show cut off.
Yeah.
It cut off, Brian. You know, it was a weird thing. It cut off. And I said, okay, I remember our Super Bowl predictions, I think, and we went over that. But you assured me that you had other audio clips for us to play.
Brian, I have to then upload it to the next gen. The next gen
You didn't say to me when I walked in, I have them, but we won't get them to them today. Okay,
it's fine, Brian.
We had plenty of time to talk again with the lies.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I didn't have plenty of time to do it, Brian. You don't understand what I do when I get done here and have to upload it. And there's different things that I'm doing.
Look, buddy.
Yes,
it's
Brian.
Okay. Just take the L. Take the L.
Brian,
and
I'll
just say, I lied to you, Brian. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to say I lied to you because I was working
Your
on
voice
it.
Went high. You're clearly lying. You're smiling and laughing up there because you know you're lying.
No, the video is like out of minutes.
I know, and I can still see it, the look on your face. No,
I didn't lie
time.
To you, Brian, but I will take the L on this.
Okay. You did lie.
As far as you say.
The L that you're taking is for filthy liar.
No, I'm not taking that. It's an L for Lummy.
Jesus Christ, man. Blitz asked me if I could imagine dealing with this every day. No, Blitz, I couldn't. Because the fucking blatant truth. I mean, when faced with insurmountable facts, he continues to double and triple and quadruple down on what
is Brian, you're
obviously
calling my character out, and I'm getting a little fucking pissed off right now, Brian. Because you don't fucking know the shit that I have to stop doing for my own personal stuff for the sports show to do other stuff for other people.
Never said that
Brian,
you had
do you
want to
fucking
do?
Go? Because I'm getting really like, pissed.
Never,
I'm calling my character out.
Never.
Because I didn't lie to you, Brian. I was working on the fucking thing. And the audio that I need, I would have to request from other people. But I'm working on fucking audio from other people.
I don't mind.
This is not turning into a sports show. Now you're just calling my character out by sitting here telling all fucking time that I'm a fucking liar, Brian.
I said you lied to me.
No, I didn't lie to you, Brian. I was working on it.
And
then people coming in like a blitz and saying that shit. No, because it's bullshit, Brian. I was working on it. I'm sorry I'm not a big-time lawyer and everything like that. But I'm working on other shit.
To
Brian,
do talk about
yes,
something
it is.
That's completely
no, Brian.
Unrelated.
No, Brian, because I have to sit and listen to a fucking show that we don't have notes on. So I don't know the time spot where we do it. So when I go back and I listen to a show that I thought we actually did the predictions and I didn't see it, I find the different things and I'm putting them together. I don't want it to be like, oh, here you go, Brian. But to stop when I'm editing, listening to that hour and 13 minutes, thinking that when the one with Tyler, the only one on there, and I can cut it up real quick and put our division. And you know what, Brian? I didn't get to it. Okay?
That's all I wanted to hear.
I didn't get to it today. Four weeks. I said I didn't get to it today. I didn't get to it today where I could go to Blitz and say, hey, Blitz, can you pull an earlier show than the 9-6?
Weeks. This wasn't a surprise this week. It's fine, Lummy. It's fine. I apologize for calling out your character. But you were untruthful with me on the questions that I asked.
No, I wasn't. I was working on it.
When I walked in the studio today.
I said I had audio clips.
It's
I never
fine,
said I was
going
to play it, Brian.
Yes, I said that. That was what the first thing I said is,
no.
Do you have the audio ready for us to play on the show
and
today?
And I said, Brian,
with our predictions,
and
you said, yes, but the show got cut off. I don't have the Super Bowl ones.
No,
and I said, I don't
care
about the Super Bowl ones. Dude, it's fine,
no,
man.
No, but Brian,
it's
I said, I don't have. I said, I have audio pulled. I don't have the audio of the Super Bowl one. So I never said I'm ready to play it. I never said I was ready to play it.
I asked, my question was when I walked in, do you have the audio ready to go for today's show? And you said, yes, but I don't have our Super Bowl predictions because it got cut off.
Because I didn't even upload it because it's a Super Bowl show. And I figured, I said, we'll go through prop bets and we'll go through all the different stuff. So,
love me.
But it's like what they said, Brian, you know, Brian, whatever, man. I don't freak out. I didn't get caught. I just submitted.
In the corner or big dog.
No,
in
that's
the corner,
not true, Brian. And see,
out.
Once again, this is calling out my character because it's like, okay, whatever.
No, it's making an observation, a factual observation based upon what happened. Okay. I asked you a pointed question. Do we have the audio ready with our predictions? And you said, I got most of it, but I wasn't able to get the Super Bowl picks because the show got cut off. And you blamed it on the show getting cut off. And that's fine. And I believe you on that. Okay. But what you just shared is not what happened and not how it transpired. And so my frustration is not with the fact that we don't have the clips to play. My frustration is the fact that I was told we had the clips to play and we don't have them to play. That's what I'm frustrated about. And to act like this was something that was sprung on you this week. This is something we've been talking about for weeks. For weeks. I've got the texts where I said, hey, I think it'd be a good idea for us to do that.
Yeah, and I agreed with you.
Yeah.
And I never said, I never said that it was sprung on me. Not one time did I say it was sprung on me.
That's fine.
No, but I never said that. You're just like, oh,
you're
I'm
just,
acting
but
like
you're
it.
Just talking about the reason why you couldn't have it done, you know, today is, oh, when I pulled the show.
No, yeah,
well,
because
when did you pull the show?
Well, I pulled...
When did you pull the show? It's a very simple question.
The 9-8 one?
When did you pull the only show that you listened to get the audio and found out that it may have been the wrong one?
No, Ryan, I listened to other shows.
Pull the show that you listened to?
The show...
Okay, I'm done with this. Let's move on. I'm done with it because you're only going to get me more mad at this point because you're going to continue to quintuple down. It's fine, Lummy. We're going to move on. You couldn't answer a pointed, direct question.
Yes, I did.
The show...
No. I was trying to because of the way you asked
Lummy,
it.
Lummy, are you seeing other women? I see lots of other women.
No, Brian.
I see them when I'm walking on the street. I see them at the grocery store. Look, it's fine. We know what we were talking about. We'll move on. How about them Olympics and how much the U.S. is sucking ass?
I'm going to say this, Brian. The question you were asked was loaded in saying the one show you pulled. I pulled other shows.
I said the one show you listened to.
Today is what I just said.
So 4 weeks and you finally listened to the show today.
No, I listened to other audio clips.
Well,
they were not the right ones.
Right. Okay. All right, buddy.
Okay.
We're good.
I don't think we are because obviously you're not too happy there. And I have listened to other audio clips.
I'm sure you have lots. And I know you have a lot of responsibilities around here.
I'm not
mad that it wasn't done. I'm mad that I was misinformed as to what was done and misled as to what had been done. That's what I'm upset about. You got to trust your quarterback. You got to trust your wideout. And today was a moment, Lummy. It was a moment. We'll get past it. It's okay. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You are
Sling
correct.
Blade up there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Sling Blade. Yes.
Sling Blade. Mm-hmm.
Sling Blade's in jail. Or that's the Blade Runner.
That's the Blade Runner. Oster Pistorius.
Yes, you are correct.
So.
The Winter Olympics sucks.
Although Nathan Chen put together one hell of a short skate for the men's figure skating. Congratulations to him, and congratulations for Lindsay Jacobellis winning the snowboard cross after falling, I believe, in Pyongyang in Korea. She takes home the first U.S. gold. Thank you to the women of the United States for carrying our backs on this. I think the men have won 2 medals. The women have won 5. Good on you, ladies.
What do you think about the way the Chinese government and all the Olympic Chinese stuff are handling all the different controversies that people are coming out with now?
I mean, it's terrible, and China is a terrible country, and anybody, I'm shocked that there are U.S. athletes that have competed under the Chinese flag, even though they were born in America and raised in America, like Eileen Gu.
Didn't she change her name?
She was a born Eileen Gu, and she's like Eileen Gu or whatever her name is. She apparently gave up her U.S. passport in order to compete for China after being born and raised in America. Her mom's Chinese. I don't get it. She says she's, quote, trying to unify people. I think she was paid an ass load of money by the Chinese government to do so. But whatever. Good for her.
So what happened now that she's
she is hot.
Twice?
Have you seen her?
No.
She's like a model. She's like 18, 19 years old. No, Gu hasn't fallen.
No, I was talking about Gu.
Gu won the gold in women's big air, and she did throw down some great tricks, but that's a U.S. gold medal taken away right there.
Yeah, because right now the gold, U.S. only has one gold.
Yeah, and we don't kill it in the Winter Olympics. We're usually fourth or fifth overall in total medal count and gold count, but we're definitely underachieving. The girl who fell, you're talking about Michaela Shiflin, I believe her name is, and she fell in the Super G and the slalom. Very disappointing for her. Very disappointing. She fell 11 seconds out in the first race, 5 seconds out in the second race, and her coach even got to set the poles in the second race. Like, that's apparently a thing in skiing where they do a random draw and one coach gets to set where the poles go and set it up exactly the way she wanted it, and she still fucked up. Sucks for her.
Because normal countries that normally win this is what? Like the Sweden, Netherlands, Norway, stuff like that?
They win because they win all those Nordic, like the cross-country skiing, which big ups to, Jessica Dingus from the U.S., I don't remember her last name, Diggins, won the first ever medal in cross-country skiing for a U.S. woman. She got the bronze, so good on her. That's a good story. But we don't win anything in those. It's always like Norway, Germany, Finland, Sweden, those countries, those Nordic nations.
Who do you think takes the hockey?
I mean, the U.S. would have had a shot if we got to send our hockey players, but I think Russia has a really good chance given the fact that that we can't send our pros.
Yeah.
You know, our high-level pros don't get to go. Same with Canada. So you've got to give, Sweden, Sweden and Finland and Russia have got to be, liking their chances.
Is there one Winter Olympic sport that you just love to watch?
I love the luge, the skeleton, the bobsleds. I love those. Those are so much fun to watch because they're different, right?
Yeah. I like the luge and the bobsled.
Skeleton is nuts.
What's the skeleton?
That's the head-first luge. Where they're lying on their belly. Now the other luge is crazy because they can barely look and see over their toes. I guess that's what it feels like to be you, Lummy. But
Dick. I actually do like that men's skeleton. That thing looks crazy though.
It's nuts. I mean, it's nuts. They just run and jump on it like it's a surfboard and ride it all the way down. But Sean White's done after this Olympics. We'll see if he can medal. Five Olympics, man. That's a long run. 20 years.
He's like a Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
He's the Michael Phelps of Winter Olympics.
Yeah. The rugged carrot top of snowboarding.
Yeah, man. He's been around forever. What is that, 20? Is that 20 years?
Sean White's been around more than 20 years, but he's been snowboarding for 20. He started out as a skateboarder as like a kid when he burst on the scene. He was like 7 or 8 years old.
Oh, is that how he started, was a skateboarder?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, he crossed over to snowboarding.
Hmm.
I'm fairly certain on that. No, 95%.
No, we'll probably take your word for it. You seem like you're up on the X Games.
I'm honest about what I know.
Exactly. That's how it goes, Brian.
Look, Lummy, I'm not,
we'll end it.
I love
we'll
you.
End it on that
I love you,
note.
But I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
We'll end it on that note, Brian. Are you good for next week, Brian?
I'm more than happy to do a show next week. I would love to have the audio of our preseason predictions, not just the finish. We talked about individual teams. We talked about how quarterbacks, I think there's a lot of good material and a lot of little nuggets and clips in those, them, their hills.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had the ability to edit the audio at all, or have access to it, I would be more than happy to help you with it.
Don't worry, Brian. I will have it all taken care of for you.
But what I'm saying to you is, even if it's not next week, even if it's the week after, I'm fine with that. Just let me know.
I will let you know, Brian. I will have that ready for you. But we're good for next week?
Yes, sir. Of course. Again, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
I understand. Thank you, Brian. I'm glad you just let me know that.
All right, buddy.
Remember, everyone, Bubba's live tomorrow, twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy. Brian's got Rams 31-27. I got Bengals 34-28. We appreciate everybody that's tuned in today. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Lum Lum.
Have a good weekend, and we will see you next week. But we will see you on the Bubba Lustman Show again tomorrow, twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy. Thanks.